Hello, and welcome to this half hour of Rallets Baptist Church. My name is Brother Dwayne Cook, and I'm pastor here at Rallets. I'd like to invite you and your family to come join us every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. for our Sunday school program, or every Sunday morning at 11 a.m. for our worship service, or maybe you could come join us on Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. for our weekly Bible study, where we just simply take the Word of God a verse at a time, and we look at what aspects it holds for us in our lives and how we might be better Christians and better affected by what it is we're going through in this life. Did you know that each and every circumstance that you go through in your life gives you an opportunity to witness to somebody through your testimony, through your actions, maybe through how you follow the Holy Spirit? If there's one thing I would like to be able to give as a New Year's gift to many of our churches, many of the congregations in this world, it would be more of a reverence for God. You see, I unfortunately, folks, I've been in places, I've been in revivals and different churches where I've visited, and it seems as if it's more concern about comedy hour or more concern about a joke being taken as it is about the reverence that we need to be holding for the Word of God. If it is about, it is about God Himself, and that's really what our desire should be. That's what it is that we should be looking to strive toward, is to be more like God. I want to share with you something differently this year as we're coming up on the start of a new year. Next Thursday, I'm probably going to do a little bit of a more verse-by-verse breakdown of some different things that God has laid upon my heart. But I want to share with you something that that feel like that God would have us to look at today, and that's Ephesians chapter 5, Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 through 17, 15 through 17. And this is the Apostle Paul writing, and Paul, we know, is a man that wrote one of these epistles here from prison. He was a man that knew what it was like to be down. He knew what it was like to suffer. He knew what it was like to be under persecution. He knew what it was like to have all these things happening in his life that would attempt to drag him down. And yet Paul was a man that was full of joy. He was full of the Holy Spirit. He was a man that was given over to sudden outbursts of great praises, great exaltations to the King, to the Jehovah God. And it's so important that you and I be able to tap into what Paul was able to tap into. You see, dear friends, the same Holy Spirit that came upon the Apostle Paul while he was there in that Roman prison is the same Holy Spirit that dwells in the hearts of Christians. And I'm glad today to be able to say that I can worship God just like Paul the Apostle did, just like Peter and James did, just like the men of old did, just like they did on that day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit came upon them, that we can worship in that way, in that manner, because God does not change. God is the same today, yesterday, and forever. And I want to share with you these verses from Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 through 17. Paul says this, See then that you walk circumspectly, circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. But understand what the will of the Lord is. I want you to think, as we come upon now this last Thursday in 2010, and look back over the course of what's been happening in your life, look back over the time has passed now, all that has been like water under the bridge, and it'll never come back around to you in your lifetime. You'll never gain again the December of 2010. You'll never gain again July of 2010. You've already lived those moments. Those things are behind you, and now you're starting to begin the walk into a new year. You're starting to have a course that's being taken down the next highway, the next part of your life, and the next installment is coming on man's calendar, and man's calendar is going to say the year is 2011. Can you imagine what it must have been like for somebody in 1811 to say, you know what, I bet they never even thought about this day. I bet they never even thought about this hour that we're in now. Friends, listen to me. We have come further than humanity has ever been. I need you to realize that in this minute, in this moment, this is the furthest that the human race has ever been. And we are coming to a point and a time where that this is quickly closing. We're quickly getting to an end. We're quickly coming to a point that God is going to say, now's the moment, now's the time. I need Jesus to come. And the trumpet will sound and we'll find ourselves appearing in the clouds. We'll find ourselves raising our eyes to see the risen Lord returning no longer as Savior, but as Judge. Maybe it'll happen in 2011. I don't know. But I know this, that I'm closer right now than I was when we began this sermon. Now, I know over the course of 2011, there's going to be 8,765 and some change hours. 8,765 hours. Oh, the things that'll happen in those hours. Some of those hours are going to pass by in utter happiness. Some of those hours are going to pass by in joy and in gladness and in good times and a high spirit. Some of those hours are going to pass by in sorrow, in heartache, in not understanding. Some of those hours are going to pass by at the funeral home. Some of those hours are going to pass by in the hospitals. Those hours are going to pass by in the orphanages, in the nursing homes, in all the places where there are sorrow and anguish. Those hours will pass by there as well. Some of those hours will fly by, and you won't ever know, you won't ever even miss them. You won't ever even notice that they're gone. And others are going to drag by. Some of those hours are going to feel like days. But one thing is certain, none of them will remain after it is past. One will give way to the next. Only God is unchanging. Friends, time is a funny thing. Over the course of time, mountains will become hills and then flat lands. Rivers will dry up. Lakes will give way to mud. Stars will fall from the heavens, but God remains. Babies will be born. Men and women will breathe their last, but God will remain. Your faith will in some hours be white hot, stoked by the fire of the Holy Spirit, and overrun with the joy that comes from knowing the Lord. In other hours, your faith will shrink to just a seed. But God remains. God remains. I think about, over the course of this life, in my own self, I've seen people come and go in those fires. I've seen those things happen. I've seen people come to know Jesus. I've seen people turn their back upon Him. But God remains. How might we use these 8,765 hours of 2011? Well, God help me to take these words to heart as I share them with you. Paul tells us here to walk circumspectively. Now, what do we mean when we say circumspectively? You know that many of us are doing the exact opposite of that. Many people are not walking carefully. Many people are not being aware of one foot going down in front of the other. They don't know about what their next step might hold. They don't know about what it is. As a matter of fact, I believe a lot of people don't even care about what their next moment holds. But Paul tells us as Christians to do something differently. We're to walk circumspectively. Now, many people are doing the exact opposite of that. They're running carelessly. That would be the exact opposite of walking circumspectively. Nobody anymore knows how to slow down. God's people are crazy busy. God's people are insanely, their calendars are full, their agendas are running over, they don't have time to go visit, they don't have time to see one another, they barely have time to rush in the church. As soon as the Sunday school bell is ringing, they'll rush into church and they'll find a pew and they're hurried, they want the sermon to be quick, they want the songs to be fast, and as soon as they can, they want to shake the preacher's hand and get out the door and get on their way because they're busy, busy, busy. We've got places to do, we've got things to do. And we've got all this that's got to be taken care of, and I feel conflicted. We feel conflicted. Maybe that's not true of your life, but in my heart, I feel conflicted about how I spend my time, about what it is I choose to do with these 8,765 hours that are passing by so quickly. Have you ever tried to grab hold of a minute? Have you ever tried to grab onto 1 second? Have you ever tried to live in one moment? You can't do it. It's not possible. Time marches on. And you and I are subject to it. People do not take time anymore for visiting. They don't take time for their family. They got to make time for work. They got to make time for recreation. They don't have time to study. They don't have time for prayer. And they wonder why in the world that God requires them to give that whole hour every week. Oh, friend, God is in control of time. And if you had a resource that was in limited supply, then you would use it very wisely. Listen, time is not a renewable resource. Once it's spent, it's gone. You see, to walk circumspectively is to be aware of time and situations. The foolish, they blow through life. They go through it just as quickly as they can. They're looking from one point A to point B, and they don't care about anything in between. You know why it is that our culture is so mind-bent, so tunnel vision, so adamant about entertainment? They just want entertainment after this, entertainment after that. They want from go to one thing to the next, and it's got to be bigger than the last, and it wants to hold their attention. You know why? Because all they're simply doing is trying to distract themselves from the very fact that one day they are going to breathe their last breath, and they're going to have to face an eternal God. They're going to have to stand before God in judgment. Their life is going to end. They're going to be wrapped up. It's all going to be done. It's all going to be over. And then comes the eternity. People today are trying to distract themselves from that great truth. They don't want to face the fact that one day time is going to run out for them. And so they're just blowing through it as quickly as they can. Listen, we need to be aware. The foolish are blowing through life. They're worshiping. They're worshiping the God of drugs. They're worshiping the God of sex. They're worshiping the God of alcohol or just plain old self. Humans were created to worship. It is in your DNA. You will worship something. Wise men and wise women will choose to worship Jehovah. They'll choose to worship Jesus. Yes, that's right, I said it. Jesus Christ is worthy of worship. We are to fall down at His feet. We are to lay before Him prostrate. We are to call upon His name. We are to say, Jesus, 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 You are worthy to be worshiped. Worship Him in spirit and in truth. That's our Jesus. We're doing what we're made to do when we worship Jehovah God. Listen, the foolish give no thought to God, so therefore they will give no thought to the things of God. Some are flying through life so fast they won't even realize it's over until they wake up in a devil's hell. It's the Holy Spirit. Paul the Apostle might have penned these words, but the Holy Spirit was moving his hand. And he began to tell these folks that they're to walk circumspectively. It's the Holy Spirit telling us this. It's a word given from the Most High God. The Most High God is telling us to walk circumspectively. If the President of the United States were to call you up and to tell you something, would you not think that was important? Would you not think that was something you need to heed to? If the Governor of Kentucky were to walk in and tell you something different, if the billionaires of this world, if Bill Gates and all these great men who had made so much money were to pick up your checkbook and tell you there's some things you need to do differently that you would become rich, would you not heed those words? Would you not listen to what they're trying to tell you? Would you not think that was important, friend? Listen to me. The Creator of all the universe is telling you something, and you need to heed His words. He's telling us to walk circumspectively. Why are you in such a rush to get through your life? Why are we so hell-bent on going from one moment to the next and not giving God the heed that He needs? Oh, it breaks my heart. God Himself is trying to help us through. The wise are to redeem the time. The definition of redeeming that caught my heart was this. I had a great friend that gave me a Bible dictionary, and I read through that, It says to do something that compensates for poor past performance or behavior. Okay? So redeeming. Redeeming is to do something that compensates for poor past performance or behavior. So redeeming the time is to use our future hours better than you have your past hours. To use your future hours better than you have your past hours. But the meaning here is more than just living a better life. You see, there are two Greek words for time. One describes the event of hour by hour, which is probably what you're thinking here. But actually, the other word is used here. It's the same word that's used in Galatians 6:10. Galatians 6:10 says this, "Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith." So it's more of an opportunity. It's telling us that this time that we're talking about, it's more than just a minute. It's more than just an hour. It's more than just a passing of hands on a clock. It's opportunities, friend. It's chances that we had to glorify God. It's chances that we had to do something for Him. It's an opportunity that we have allowed to pass by that's coming back around again. Christian, listen to me. You might have failed God at a point in your life. You might have gotten away from what God wanted you to do. And you might have been a miserable failure right there, but it's coming back around. It's coming back around. The opportunity is going to present itself again. This time, grab hold of it. Take hold of it and don't allow it to get by. Make the most of the opportunities. You see, the time is specific. It's a chance to glorify Christ, to witness to the lost, to pray. How many hours have we mindlessly let go by sitting there watching an old television that just makes us dumber when we could have been praying? We could have been calling upon God for the lost in our community. We could have been calling upon God for those people in your family that are lost. We could have been calling upon God for the churches. Oh, seize the opportunities. Redeem the time. Why is it so important? Why is it so urgent? Listen to what Jesus said in Matthew 24. "Many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold." Oh, friend, listen. The days are evil. That's why it's so important. Terrorists abound. Abortions run rampant. The bars and the strip joints are booming, and the churches are growing cold. The churches are growing cold. The days are evil. Nowadays you can go to church and they'll show you a Disney movie and lead you to singing a nursery rhyme, and people will say you have learned of God. Oh, friend, listen. That's a poor, poor substitute for the power and the love that comes from knowing God. I'm not saying that God can't make Himself known through any means that this world has to offer. But I know this, that God is most prevalent at work through His Word and through the preaching of the Gospel, through men and women opening their Bibles and seeking God's face in the Scriptures, through men and women saying, "I want more of God in my life. I want to know more about my Savior. I want to become more like Him. I want to be mirrored to Him. I want to know what He's doing. I want to know what His will is for my life, and I desire to be more like Jesus." That's what it's really about. It's not about watching a movie and standing arm in arm with all the other faiths of this world and singing Kumbaya. It's about taking a stand for the truth of the Gospel and the reality that Jesus is Lord of all, or is not Lord at all. The days are evil. But know this. What the will of the Lord is, and to understand it. And to understand it. First and foremost, friend, God's will for you is that you might be saved. That you might be saved. Ephesians 5:8, "You were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. God would have you to be saved. I don't know about all the other aspects of your life. I don't know about all the other things that's going on with you. But I know God's will is that none should be lost. And Jesus came first and foremost to seek and to save that which was lost. Secondly, if you're a Christian, God's will for your life is that you adhere to His commandments. Jesus said that you will, if you love me, you'll obey my commandments. So, Christian, it's God's will for your life that you act the part of Christianity, that you simply don't confess it with a mouth and then walk out in the world and by your actions denounce what your tongue has just professed. God would not have you to denounce what your tongue has professed. He would have you to live it out in action and understanding and in movement of the Holy Spirit. So maybe you've not been doing that. Maybe you've not been living up to that. But God desires to have you come to acknowledge Him in a more real and important way. To be filled with the Spirit. God's will revealed to us is that people should be saved. People should be Spirit-filled. People should be sanctified, submissive, suffering, and thankful. And friend, listen to me. Jesus is the supreme example for all those things. And so maybe you can say with an honest heart, maybe you can say, Brother Dwayne, I'm not living in the will of God. I'm not even close. Well, I've got some good news for you. God's mercies are new each and every day. God's mercies are new even now. Why don't you find a spot to pray? Why don't you find a spot to steal away in a dark corner somewhere, or maybe just in a parking lot, I don't know where or what, but somewhere just to yourself. And you begin to pray and you begin to ask God to forgive you and to show you His will for your life. And friend, He'll answer that prayer. He'll answer that prayer and you'll find yourself once again being able to declare to this world that I am truly a child of God. Will you pray with me? Father God, I thank You for this day. I thank You, dear Lord, for the ability of human beings to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Father, I pray for our local churches. I lift them up before You, dear Father, that they might grab hold of the gift that You've given them might be stirred up, and that the Holy Spirit might be the prominent figure in every assembly that they have. Thank You today, dear God, for Your grace and Your mercy that was poured out on undeserving sinners such as myself. I thank You for this in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, friend, from Rowlett's Baptist Church.